now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Shout Out. As always, I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Tara Fraser. On the show today, we have Cuff Boy.
Steph speaks to the writer and actor Freddie about this exploration of gender dysphoria and bodily autonomy.
And Pride CAF.
Pride CAF, yeah. The lovely Nathan is here to talk to us about this comic arts festival.
All today on Shout Out.
Oh, Terry did it, and I didn't even have his mic on.
The microphone up. Dear, oh dear.
So, hello everyone, how are we all?
Right.
So, brace for the storm.
Storm? Storm's coming in overnight.
Yeah.
Thursday, yeah. Yes, heavy rain forecast for the West Country.
Has it got a name?
It has got a name. I can't remember what it is now. I should have looked that up before I sat down there. Like, well prepared, Andy.
It's a bit of wind, is it?
It's like 80 mile an hour winds, but it's a bit further north of Bristol. Okay. But we'll kind of like get chopped by it a bit.
Apparently, highest ever wind recorded in the UK is 147 miles an hour.
That's got to be in Scotland. There's no way winds like that are going to go south of Hadrian's Wall.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe it blew it over.
England's more hot air rather than cutting wind.
Woo. You get cold air coming down from the north.
You can indeed.
That's why you get
snow. Indeed.
Yeah. Well, and Tara.
I was blown down on my broom.
Well, you've got it parked right next to mine.
So now, we'll probably say this a few times through the show, but it's one of those. If you've ever been listening to us and listened for a bit and the like, you've probably got a picture of what you think we look like in your head. Do you know the way you do that when you listen to a radio and you don't know what someone looks like, so you just kind of in your head?
Please don't invite people to look at photographs.
Well, no,
we're on radio.
I was going to invite them to come to the Old Castle Green next week when we broadcast live from the venue in a 2-hour long special, which you can only get on BCFM. The first hour is normal, we'll go out on all of our stations, but the second hour is just exclusively for BCFM people.
And I have a stamp made for my autograph, so I can stamp people, because they'd be queuing out the door for my autograph.
I thought you were going to say tramp stamp then.
Whatever.
Have you had all your photos printed then?
All my photos?
Yeah, you have to have a photo to sign, don't you?
Well, I was thinking I'd stamp wherever they wanted the stamp.
Oh, right, okay.
So you can get tattooed on them permanently.
Stamp on your hand, stamp on your arm.
Yeah, like, I love Steph.
Cheek, whichever one.
We've got a 2-hour special. We'll also be talking to Mike, because it is OCG's birthday, is kind of how all this kicked off. And I think we've got a certain couple of drag queens coming along, and... Mm-hmm. A few books to review, and of course you'll be there live with us, so we'll probably be interacting with you as the audience as well.
Yeah, can we have a karaoke session for them?
You want to sing on air?
No, I don't.
Go for it.
Mull of Kintyre in one, starting now.
Oh, I don't know the words.
Oh, bless. She's blushing too.
Lord. Far have I travelled, and much have I seen, forests of something and
and you're Welsh.
I'm not Welsh. No, I'm not. I was born and bred in Bristol. I lived in Wales for a while.
See, told you. You gave up your...
Once Welsh, always Welsh.
Yeah.
I gave up my citizenship.
Yeah. I've seen your passport, Terry, as Welsh.
Oh, dear. Citizen of the world, I am.
And wasn't Cornwall, that kind of area, once a country of its own?
It was.
As well.
Not since the Dark Ages, about 830 AD or CE. It was annexed by England.
But they've every now and again, they say about wanting to redo it, don't they?
A number of people have said they should have. There's an unofficial parliament which meets in Cornwall called the Stannery, I think. People like Peter Tatchell have written articles for The Guardian to suggest that the Cornish should be able to have some level of home rule above that of a county within England. So
do you think they should link to Britain on the other side? Mm. Of the
language is very similar. I mean, a few people speak Cornish these days, but the language is very similar to Breton, which obviously is the language of the native Breton people over in France, which is doing quite well.
The English owned for a while, didn't they? They gave it back to France.
Yeah. We owned most of France at one point.
Did we?
Occupied most of France.
Yeah, there's still ports in there called the Cinque Port. I think Calais is one of those.
Calais was one of our holdings in France. Yeah.
The five ports.
So there you are.
Not sank in ships. I just thought then what you meant.
I'm going down.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the French number, and there you are. Yeah. Oh, they all sank.
Why? Great place to visit, isn't it? Anyway. I have to say, hats off to Steph for handling the name of our next feature, because I didn't quite know how we were going to broadcast it on air. I won't say any more than that, because you very succinctly kind of explained it right at the top, don't you?
So I do.
This is Steph talking to Freddie.
Now, the title of the next play, we really can't broadcast due to Ofcom regulations. So what we're going to do, and I've agreed with our next guest, Freddie, to actually reverse the first syllable. So it's called Cuff Boy. So reverse that back round and you get the title. Okay, I'm not going to keep explaining that as we go on. I'm joined by Freddie. Now, forgive me, Freddie, is it Haberfellner?
Haberfellner, yeah.
Okay, and that's you're Austrian, yeah?
Yes.
Now, instead of me reading out the blurb that your agent gave me, why don't you tell us what Cuff Boy is all about?
Yeah, sure. So Cuff Boy, I'm going to have to remember to say it like that, is a one-man play about gender dysphoria, bodily autonomy, and celebrity crushes. And the plot is basically split into four different realities. And we see the same character at different parts of their journey in coming to terms with being trans. So in one reality, they're on the tube on the way home from a night out with a pair of scissors, and they have a plan of something they're going to do, but we don't find out until the end what they're doing. We see them in a club having a mental breakdown because they're like, for the first time, really overcome by gender dysphoria. And then we see them in the future in therapy trying to sort out, you know, what happened on the tube and in that club. And finally, we have them in their own head, kind of escaping all of that turmoil by pretending they're dating Andrew Garfield. And that's kind of their coping strategy of like, oh, well, I might be struggling, but at least I'm dating Andrew Garfield, so everything is fine. But towards the end, that kind of, you know, falls apart as well, because it was just a crutch and they can't lean on it anymore.
Okay. Now, before you did Cuff Boy, what were you up to? Like, growing up, were you always in the school plays, and did you study acting and writing?
I started doing theatre when I was around 7, because my dad's a musician, so I was always, like, growing up around music and performers, comedians, all that kind of stuff. And my parents very much warned me not to go into this industry, because my dad knows how hard it is. So obviously that's exactly what I chose to do. There wasn't a lot of theatre in my school. I went to Catholic school in small town Austria, so that was quite an experience as a closeted queer kid. But then as soon as I turned 18, I moved to London to study creative writing and drama, followed by a master's in musical theatre, and graduated during COVID, which was the worst time to enter this industry. And around the same time also started accepting that I'm trans. And yeah, since then I've been navigating this industry as a trans guy, which is tricky. And I've had some work. I've been really lucky. I've worked internationally. I've toured the UK. Cuff Boy is kind of my first attempt to create more work for people like me, because there's just such a lack of queer stories to this day. And even when there are queer plays, a lot of the time straight and cis people still get cast in it because the people behind want someone who's still acting straight or passing as straight, portraying the queer characters rather than actually giving us the jobs. So yeah, I'm just trying to kind of create some more stories for those of us who aren't really seen.
What was it like growing up trans in Austria?
It was not easy. I was really, really happy as a small child when, you know, gender roles weren't enforced as harshly as they do, as they are once you like hit puberty. but I didn't know what trans was or what queer was. I kind of knew that gay men existed because I was like in musical theater and like the terms were being thrown around, but I didn't even know what that actually meant or what it looked like. And it wasn't really something that was explicitly talked about or explained. And I knew like of one trans woman who lived in a town near where I grew up, but everyone was dead naming her and just always saying how miserable she was, probably because of the dead naming, but I didn't understand that at the time. So I just, my impression of queerness was very much one of, oh, it's a really tough life. It's really horrible. And you wouldn't want to be that. Like even being gender non-conforming in small town Austria is something that you just absolutely would not want to be. Like we have a lot of derogatory terms for someone who's gender non-conforming, not even someone who necessarily is trans, but just a masculine woman or a feminine man. Like those are derogatory terms in German. So I just very much removed myself from all of that. I tried to stay as far away as I could and very much like retreated into myself, and I was like living through books and stories and funnily enough writing Harry Potter fan fiction where I was a gay boy at Hogwarts living his best life. J.K. Rowling would surely be very happy about
that. How ironic, buddy, how ironic.
Yeah, I have a lot to thank her for. It's unfortunate how that's turned out, but that's the irony of life. And yeah, it was only when I moved away and started actually meeting queer people and being exposed to and like being able to access queer books and plays and literature and actually connecting with the community in London that like the emotions started coming up. And I was like, within a year of moving, I cut off all my hair and changed my name. But I was still like, no, but I am a woman. I was like holding on to it and doing my best. I was trying so hard, you know, to not accept or not acknowledge what was inside of me. But eventually it had to come out, and I am so glad it did.
Mm. So you look really, really happy. And I know the listeners can't see, but you are beaming. And it's lovely when smiles actually affect the whole face. So your face is beaming and it goes to your eyes. So that happiness does show, Freddie. And I'm really pleased because it is a struggle for a lot of trans people. And when you make that first initial move, it's terrifying.
So scary. It's interesting your comment on my face, because like when you look at pictures of me from before I came out, I always had a massive smile on my face. Like I was born a performer, you know, always on stage performing musical theater. We're happy. But in those old pictures, I look so different because it's like a mask I was putting on and the smile didn't actually reach my eyes. And it's like, you can't see the person behind. It's just an empty shell. And when I look at pictures of myself then and now, it's like such a different person. And it's just so clear that I wasn't happy and I wasn't even in touch with myself. I didn't know how to get in touch with myself. It's very sad to think back on, but also so wonderful to know where I have arrived.
Yep, indeed. And that's what Shout Out is all about, is giving voice to people and allowing them to share their experiences, because it only takes one person listening to this show. Who gels with what you've been saying about your journey. and they think, hang on a minute, and somebody's actually survived this, you know, so it gives them a bump up. Now, we are fast running out of time, Freddie. So where are you performing at the Fringe and what are the dates?
We're performing at Paradise in Augustine's, which is like right opposite the Frankenstein Pub. It's a lovely little venue. We're on at 10:45 p.m. from today, Monday, until Sunday, the 25th, every single night. And we'd love to have you there. It's a really good, like, it's intense, but it ends on a positive.
Mm. Yeah, because it does have a serious aspect, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But like, I wanted to give room to that and acknowledge the pain that comes with coming to terms with who you are after suppressing it for so long, but end on a note of finding acceptance and finding love and joy and peace within myself.
Mm. Right. So people can get tickets online at the venue?
Yep. On the Ed Fringe website, if you type in the title of the play, F and then a little star and then CK, boy, you can find our play and buy tickets.
Okay, that was well put, spelling it out with the star. Impressive. So break a leg, Freddie, and I'm so pleased you've come out the other side and you've got that huge smile. So I hope you just keep writing and keep going.
We'll do. There's so many stories for us to tell, and I'm going to tell as many as I can.
Good, good. Thanks, Freddie.
Thank you.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast. Somebody who
loves me. It doesn't feel like that long ago I played that one, but it was actually something like about 2-3 months ago. So that's a lovely one. I Want to Dance on His Body by Blandos.
I thought you were going to say a few years ago when you said not so long ago.
Well, no, I do sometimes play them. Well, I play a lot from previous ones. So, but yeah, I remember when I played that the first time, I remember when, oh, that's a really nice version of that one. It's kind of very chill. So, yeah. Anyway, can we get some news headlines?
You're more than welcome. This is Shout Out News. Welcome along.
Digital One, a community radio station in North Somerset, says that local and national leaders in sexual health have warned that as part of general trends towards bacteria becoming resistant to treatment, so gonorrhea has become harder to treat in recent years. The latest figures for England show there were 85,223 cases of gonorrhea diagnosed in 2023. As well as a rise in cases of STI, health officials have also found an increase in treatment-resistant gonorrhea. While the infection is usually easy to treat, some strains are resistant to the commonly used antibiotics and are harder to treat. The first-line treatment in England is an antibiotic called cetrafoxone. The UK Health Security Agent said. Dr. Helen Pfeiffer, consultant microbiologist at UKHSA, said gonorrhea is becoming increasingly resistant to antibiotics, risking the possibility of it becoming untreatable in the future. Untreated gonorrhea can lead to serious health issues, including pelvic inflammatory disease and infertility. Condoms are the best defense, but if you don't use one with a recent new or casual partner, get tested to detect the infection and prevent onwards transmission. Professor Matt Phillips, president of the British Association of Sexual Health and HIV, BASH, added, "The rise of the antibiotic-resistant gonorrhea infections in England is a worrying trend that must be addressed with immediate action. Antibiotic-resistant of STIs poses an increasingly major public health threat, which can create physical and psychological harms and place additional demands on other parts of the NHS."
Ariel Messman Rucker, writing at pride.com, reviews the latest state of the lawsuit undertaken by Imane Khalif's lawyer, Nabil Boudi, challenging the transphobic billionaires who tried to bully the Olympic gold boxer with the false conspiracy theory that she was a trans woman. In an effort to fight back against the overwhelming tide of transphobia, Khalif has filed a legal complaint against infamous trans-exclusive feminists, including J.K. Rowling and Elon Musk, who led the charge in spreading the rumour that the cisgender female boxer was actually born a man. This seems to be part of a growing trend where some anti-LGBTQ plus conservatives are so lost in their theories that not only are they slinging hate at the transgender community, who don't deserve it, but also are lashing out against cisgender people by claiming they're trans if they don't meet their very narrow definition of what gender is. Wealthy celebrities and politicians have been able to spew hate for far too long. Maybe an Olympian coming after their pocketbooks will finally teach them a lesson, concluded one writer.
And in breaking news, Gay and Fabulous blog noted on Wednesday that since the issuing of the lawsuit writ, Joanne Rowling has been surprisingly quiet and not tweeted. In addition, they allege that 27 of her recent tweets, most offensive ones against boxers, gay people and trans people, have been deleted. Them.com also issued a press release mid-afternoon on Wednesday, penned by James Factora. Factora reported, after her near pathological fixation on trans women and girls, Rowling has been quiet for once. X user at Cooperative Streaming pointed out that Rowling had stopped tweeting since before Khalif filed her lawsuit. Excited to see someone fighting back and to potentially have it laid bare in court. Rowling doesn't care about women, she wrote. The protecting real women was always a lie, an excuse for hating trans women. Journalist Molly Taft alleged that Rowling's tweets were a supremely idiotic way to commit libel, considering that she claimed that Khalif was purposefully abusing women based on a photo of an Olympic boxing match, in addition to the misgendering of her. James Factora concluded, of course, we do not currently have any way of knowing why Rowling has paused tweeting, but as the old adage goes, silence is golden, especially when we're talking about J.K. Rowling being so fixated on trans people that even Elon Musk suggested she find something new to talk about.
Now, Declan Mulholland, a Labour Party councillor in Bryn Upfield and Dipton, warns anti-fascists that racism is thriving in the dark and damp of de-industrialised and neglected northern towns, and says that just building on anti-racism in wealthier liberal towns will not work unless there is a class analysis included. Mr Mulholland writes in the Socialist Quarterly Tribune, and he says, the riots on the street now appear to have simmered down, but the circumstances that created them endure. Often, when socialists talk about the need for class unity in these moments, it seems that we're reciting a passage from scripture or making a demand detached from realities. But nothing could be farther from the truth. Class politics is the only way that this latest iteration of fascism can be defeated. The counter-demonstrations that followed the rioting were inspiring, he said, but also limited.
Ellie Creamer for the Guardian newspaper reports that more than two dozen school librarians in the UK have been asked to remove books, many of which are LGBTQ plus titles, from school library shelves, according to new survey data. The Index on Censorship survey found that 28 of 53 librarians polled, that's 53%, said they had been asked to remove books. In more than half of those cases, books were taken off the shelves. Censorship is definitely something that there's quite a lot of concern about, and some of our members said, Alison Tarrant, chief executive of the School Library Association, which helped administer the survey, along with the Chartered Institute of Library and Information Professionals. Ms. Tarrant noted that in the main, the complaints about queer and other progressive books came from people outside of the school community, through people radicalised into religious fervour, for example. There could also be a level of self-censorship, Tarrant said, though nobody has told us directly. It might be the case that certain books are not being bought in the first place and avoid complaints being made. It is troubling to see reports that LGBTQ plus books are being removed from the school libraries, as we know that many students find great importance and reassurance in seeing themselves reflected in books and media, said a representative from the LGBTQ plus rights charity Stonewall. Preventing LGBTQ plus young people from seeing themselves represented in inclusive resources and books at school can often make them feel ashamed and feel the need to hide who they are.
The issue of corporations sponsoring LGBTQIA plus groups has long been an issue of contention within our community. Is it pinkwashing, as some have alleged, the equivalent of the greenwashing that some brands engage in to paper over their less savoury practices? Well, we will let you decide, but Skittles fans have noticed that it's been celebrating the summer by giving money through the See the Rainbow initiative, run in partnership with the LGBTQIA plus newswire Pink News. They say queer craft is just one example of the kind of grassroots groups Skittles are partnering with Pink News to highlight this year. For so many LGBTQ plus people, community is everything. From found family to dedicated queer venues to pride events, finding spaces dedicated to celebrate your identity can be a lifeline. With their See the Rainbow campaign, Skittles are uplifting communities. You can find out more at the Pink News website on Skittles. That's all the W's dot thepinknews.com.
The Washington Blade, the US Capitol's LGBTQIA plus newspaper, says that its award season is now open. The long-standing paper reports, it is Decision 2024. Nominate your favourites in our 2024 Best of the LGBTQ DC categories through August 29th. The top five nominees from each category will become a finalist, with voting starting September the 9th. Our 2024 Best of the LGBTQ DC winners will be announced at the Best of the LGBTQ DC Awards party on Thursday, October the 17th, and our special issue will come out on Friday, October the 18th. To take part, visit washingtonblade.com.
We know that many LGBTQIA plus households enjoy the company of pets. Dogs are popular, but are just by the tiniest margin pipped by cats as the most popular gay and trans companion animals. Battersea Dogs and Cats Home has been in touch with their supporters to say that this summer there is a great number of cats that are looking for new homes. They report, "We've currently been caring for the highest number of cats we've seen in the last 5 years. Whilst there's no limit to the amount of time an animal can stay in our care, we urge prospective owners to consider one of our wonderful rescue cats so that we can continue to support even more animals who need us. Are you looking to change a cat's life forever? If so, visit them at allthews.battersea.org.uk.
And finally, the Gay Pride Shop, based in Manchester, close to the heart of the north of England's biggest gay village, says designed by an amazing transgender artist based in Manchester, UK. We've had this wonderful new range of t-shirts designed to show your support to the trans community. These gender-neutral t-shirts are made from 100% cotton that is ethically grown and harvested. They are all available in sizes from small to 5XL, with tearaway label to prevent any scratching. For your t-shirts, visit them online at gayprideshop.co.uk.
Thank you, Steph. I shall be getting mine soon. Well, it's been another exciting week for culture and politics. Do be sure to keep listening to community radio and podcasts through the week for more updates. For Shout Out News, this has been Terry Starr
and Steffi Barnett.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Switch Disco and Ella Hansen and React. Congratulations on your exam results, by the way, if you got them today. I hope you did as well as you were hoping to.
Yes.
I'll never forget that day. I was so nervous. I really didn't want to go there.
And if it isn't right, it's okay.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world.
I'd say
that's a really important thing about
Don't worry about it. Because when you're at school, they always say, oh, your exams will influence the rest of your life. They don't. Employers only really are interested in your last couple of jobs. So, you know, don't worry about it too much.
There's always a way.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Anyway, hello, Nathan.
Hello.
Hello, Nathan.
Lovely to have you back with us.
Oh, thank you for
trying to think
when
we last had you on. You probably remember
probably
than
this
I
time
do.
Last year. Actually,
I think it probably was, wasn't it? So now I'm going to do the usual. Obviously, we're well aware of what Pride Calf is, but for those who aren't, do you want to give us a quick recap?
Yeah. So Pride Calf stands for Pride Comic Art Festival. We are an annual festival that happens on a Saturday. So this year it's September the 21st, and we have an array of different LGBTQIA plus comic creators who come along, who sell their wares. This year we've gone up a bit more, so we've got 63 different creators who are going to be all jammed, well, not jammed, nicely placed in the station, with lovely seating for everyone. And yeah, it's a way for us to promote and to platform LGBTQIA plus creators in the comic industry, whether or not they're first starting out, whether or not it's very DIY, just doing stuff in their bedrooms, or if it's actually going to like professional published work.
It's lovely to see it growing, isn't it? I remember we talked to you the first year you launched it. How big are you? You just said 63. Do you remember what it was when you first started?
So it was probably about 20, just over 20 creators that we had. So yeah, we've been growing and growing. Like this year was very difficult choosing applicants because we had double the amount of people we could have apply. So, I mean, it's a lovely process of going through people's work and seeing like this wonderful stuff that people are creating. But then it's also really hard to then choose who we actually can give a table to, because we want a variety. We want a variety of people. We want a variety of stuff being sold. We want, you know, the veterans to the newbies all having a go. So, yeah, it's hopefully we have like a good selection for everyone. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so naive to it, partly because I'm so unarty myself. You know, we were talking about it off air, weren't we? So, I mean, all of you here in the studio have had a quick look at some of the artwork. Do you want to kind of describe some of the stuff you've seen? Was there anything that stood out? I think, Steph, you picked one, didn't you, that you were...
Well, I was just a bit shocked to Mr. Blobby with huge fangs. I mean, Mr. Blobby was just a nutter on a Saturday night bumping into everything. But I am truly scarred for life, I think, seeing those images.
So that's called Blobby Horror. It's an anthology by a bunch of different creators. But I brought it along because Erica Price, who is an amazing horror artist and comic creator, she'll be there as well this weekend.
Well, I hope she realises I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
So, and I was quite surprised by the difference as well. There's some that are like just a few pages right through to a full book with an entire story in it.
Yeah. So that's what we also try to promote, that sort of like that very zine, like very small short story, because a lot of the time people only have like it, they still want to tell a story, but it's very, very short. So one that I have here by creator Sarah Millman, this is like a whole book of a bunch of different volumes of a comic that she released over a number of years, and then she brought them all together in one big collection.
Oh, nice.
Another one that I brought it over called Crowded, it's done by a bunch of different creators, but Stein and Brandon, I think that's their surname, they were sort of like the inkers and the character designers and things like that in it, and that is, you know, sort of like a published by a big publishing sort of comic thing, Image, it's published by. And that has a number of different volumes that have been coming out. So yeah, it's just like we want to have, because some people like the bigger stories, they want to actually have something to sink their teeth into, and some people really like the like small little very nice contained little stories that you can find as well.
Are they all graphical as well?
So most
of the ones we saw there today are graphical.
Yeah,
the quality is amazing, by the way. Yeah, the artwork is absolutely
don't you
stunning.
Think Tara, though, looking at those, I mean the storylines are good in themselves, but the actual artwork, there's characters, and in the next picture, the same character will be drawn with different facial expression. That's some talent to get that character looking the same, box after box after box, page after page, with different expressions. I just find that incredible.
Do you think
they're that talented?
I wonder if there's a lot of people use a drawing as a way to kind of deal with what's going on in their life.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, I mean, one of the stories we've got here, which is Becoming, it's by a young chap called Snail Legs. This is definitely sort of like a very personal story about his transitioning. Yeah. And you can tell that from just how kind of quite soft and quite sensitive the book is, but like how beautiful it's been made. And it's literally like about 4 pages. And you can... Sorry, I actually forgot the question. I just got info because I'd be like this book.
Nothing wrong with that. It was the whole idea that all the people use art as a means to kind of deal with process.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do, even with it not being primarily about whatever they're going through, but they've got a story and they can work through sort of like their own feelings, their own representation, their own sort of dealings in life, probably through other characters as well, like characters they create, the situations they put them through. And also, I think it's a really good way of, if people can buy them and they can see themselves in these books and they can see themselves in their characters as well, then I think that's a really lovely thing for a creator to take away, just saying like, oh, I really resonated with this character, or I really resonated with it or connected with this story. I feel like, again, sort of like from another trans artist who is quite like, he's quite well known, like he's a big TikTok sort of person. He's got a lot of things on Instagram. So Lewis Hancock's, who's coming and doing a talk, his book, Welcome to St. Hell, is all about him transitioning in like the early 2000s, more like. And I was looking through this and I didn't transition in the early 2000s. I transitioned in like, I think the 2010s. But a lot of that I related to, and it was quite nice to see that in comic form, because it is like a much more accessible way of relating to those stories as well.
So it's not just comics then. You mentioned that you've got someone coming to talk. Is there other things going on other than just...
Yeah, so we've got 4 talks going on. So Sarah Millman, who I mentioned earlier on, she had a quite horrific time going through long COVID. And so she found it hard to sort of get back into her work, back into her illustration. So she's doing a talk on sort of like well-being, looking after yourself if you do have like a disability, or if you have like illness, burnout, anything along those. And it's fighting against that sort of stereotype of the burdened artist, like you have to be so overwhelmed and things to actually be a true artist, when really it's actually using creativity to look after yourself and to make sure that you're healthy mentally and physically to be able to get your work out and produce the best work that you can. We've got a lovely little workshop from a Bristol artist called Caro Caro Art. He's doing a talk, more of a workshop about just creating monsters, like letting yourself sort of be free with your creativity, giving sort of like nice little short exercises. And there's going to be apparently lots of googly eyes and all sorts of stuff to be able to get you creating. And then we have a talk from a wonderful artist called Ricardo Besso, and he is an illustrator. He does sort of like cover art, so cover art for books and for comics and things like that. He's had some quite high profile names, so I don't know if you know Wizard of the Coast. So he's actually worked on their sort of Pride collection for like Dungeons and Dragons and Magic the Gathering as well. So it's really interesting to see this kind of industry, especially with Magic the Gathering, that seems to be majority filled with sort of like cis straight men. There's actually a card that you can play that's called, like, I think it's called Hot Springs, and it's just filled with big hairy gay men just hugging each other, and it's beautiful artwork as well. Beautiful artwork. He's an amazing artist.
Sounds like a card me and Terry quite like.
I've got some of his work I need to show you later. I forgot to bring it out. And then we've got Lewis Hancock's as well, who's going to do a talk about his book and his recent book as well, which is Escape from St. Hell, which is more about him sort of further into his transition and escaping sort of like this small town that he grew up in, and how that's influenced like his sketch comedy that he does on social media.
How do we get tickets? Do we have to get tickets before
in
advance?
It is absolutely free. You can just walk in, and we'd rather you spend your money on the artists. So we've facilitated, and also we know that financial ticket buying and things like that is a barrier for people. So we wanted to make this free. We want you to spend the money on the creators. So no tickets needed, just turn up on the day. It's between 11 a.m. until 5 p.m.
But looking at it looks really open to anyone to come there. It's not, I know it says Pride because that's where the artists are, but actually looking at it, anyone who'll play that content.
So media sources is always a good way to start.
Anyway, that's it for this week. Do you fancy seeing us broadcast a show live?
Join us in person next week.
You've got more?
Have I?
Oh,
no,
is that
no,
me?
That's all I've got. That's all. I've got right for a change. Woo!
Missed my own name.
Come on, you.
Next week, we're live from the Oldcastle Green for a 2-hour special. Do come join us. Now, it's you.
I hope you can make it for a 2 hours. More about us on our website is shoutoutradio.lgbt.
From myself, from Terry, from Steph, from Tara. Say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.